Good afternoon. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01. We have our guest, Mary Campbell, in the studio today. She's going to talk about advanced directives. So you can call anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Mary, thank you for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to come in. I'm delighted that I can serve Wrangell in some way, and being the social worker at the hospital is just a privilege for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, social workers are some of my favorite people, so thank you for doing that job.
Got it.
So, real quick, we're talking about advanced directives. This is the idea and the legal procedure to plan out your end-of-life care. Tell me, do I have it right?
Well, I wanted to make sure that I was going to get this definition correct. So I've gotten this directive, which is it is a written document signed by a competent person granting someone, usually a spouse, family member, friend, or attorney, the authority to make decisions regarding health care. An individual is allowed to state his or her own decisions on health care matters and to appoint someone to make health care decisions based on that patient's wishes and intentions. But the purpose is to allow each individual to plan in advance what kind of medical treatment that they have. A person may state his or her wishes about specific kinds of medical treatment and may name a spouse, relative, friend, or attorney as the decision maker in that. So there are kind of two parts to the advance directive. One is you have a chance to actually name somebody that you know and trust, and you may have talked with them about what you want or what you don't want regarding health care. But if you don't have somebody, or even if you do, there's also places in the advance directive that you can specify. They'll ask you about different types of treatments that you might want to say, no, I don't want that, or yes, I do want this, or to what degree. And also allows places for you to write some sentences in about what you want, what you don't.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, yes, that, the first part is choosing, you want to choose this person that could be acting in that capacity for you at some point in your life, anywhere mm-hmm. in your life, and then go through those very specific questions about what that could look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when do you ask people to consider taking this step and thinking about these questions and considering this person?
My thought is that any adult who is past the age where a parent would make a medical decision for you, it's time for you to make an advance directive. In particular, you know, I can say here in Alaska, but this is certainly anywhere. You know, at any time, you can be in an automobile accident or a boating accident. You can have something that will happen to you. Even young people sometimes have aneurysms or something that happens to them that they cannot make decisions about how they want their health care. And so I think it's important that you have conversations about, oh, I don't want that or I do want this. But it's also extremely important that you put those wishes in writing and have them notarized or witnessed by others in a format that is legal so that those wishes can be followed out.
Yeah, you're saying it's important to have those laid out so that they can be followed out properly.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't I just assume that that my mother or my daughter or my spouse would make all the right decisions for me? You know, like, why do I need to talk this out with them if I'm married and something happens to me that I shouldn't I just trust that they're going to do what I intend for them to do?
You could do that. And that may be the case, and it may not be. So I'll tell you a little story. One reason why I have an advanced directive, and one reason, when I was living in Atlanta, those of you know my accent, I'm not native Alaskan. When I was living in Atlanta, I have two sons that live in Atlanta who are adults. And I told, after there was an incident that happened with one of my friends who ended up in a coma for a while, and she had married late in life and depended on her husband to do certain things. And he did whatever he could to keep her alive longer. And she was with stage four cancer and no chance of coming out of it. She lingered for months in a coma. When she, you know, when I had talked with her about it, she was clear about what she wanted and what she didn't. And she may have had, here's the deal, is that she may have had an advance directive naming her sister as her medical directive. However, she had gotten married in the meantime, so the person they asked was her husband. And so, you know, now this depends on the state, and it depends, there are a lot of things that do, you know, that handle that way. So I immediately went out and got my advance directive gun, and I sat down with, okay, boys, I brought, you know, okay, we're going to have dinner, and we're going to talk about my advance directive. And they're going like, they're looking at each other like, you know, okay, so, you know, mom, are you, you know, are you worried about something? Do you have some disease that we don't know about? And I said, no, but I want you to know this. So we went through this whole procedure. And then about a year or two later, I was actually taking care of a woman who was a dear friend, and she had an advance directive. She and her husband both had them. They were locked up at home, and you know they were locked up in their box that they had at home. And that man, her husband, she was in stage four cancer, and it had metastasized to her bones, to all over her body. She had an incident where then they thought she was maybe having little epileptic seizures. And so they were going to put her in a coma for several. They were going to force a coma on her to allow her to reset for the epileptic seizures. So my question was, I had to be real careful because this is, you know, you start talking about people or whatever. My question to them was, are epileptic seizures painful? And they, you know, so you want to be kept out of pain. If you have late stages of cancer, you definitely want to be able to be kept out of pain. And she said, her sister was a nurse and said, no, you know, in epilepsy, you know, when you have a seizure, it's not usually painful. And so I said, so why are you doing this? And she says, oh, well, we need to take care of the epilepsy. And I said, okay, so you put her in a coma for several days, and then we get rid of the epilepsy. And then what? Well, are we going back to chemotherapy again? Uh-huh. You know, clearly something that she could not handle anymore. You know, she couldn't handle any more chemotherapy. She'd already had everything that they could give her. And so that's what they did. They actually put her in a coma for 3 days. And so then after that, I was calling my children again and going back over my advance directive and telling them that if I ever remarried, my husband would not have any decision making at all, and they would follow my instructions, or I would do something to them, my ghost would come back to them or something. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, but I mean exactly, and well, and you were talking about your friends, and you also work at the hospital, so you get to, like, you're seeing this all the time. You're seeing how things can change so drastically based on people's decisions. I mean, I know that a lot of people, it's just something that they would like to avoid. This is a conversation they wouldn't even like to have in the first place. But you're saying it's very worthwhile.
Right.
Because of the things that you've seen and you've heard about, and you are willing to have a hard conversation with your kids right now versus experiencing, you know, you're going to already experience whatever disease or injury that you're dealing with at the time. But this is to make it easier. This is to lay out a plan. We're not guessing.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's see. Let's go to a break real quick. So again, we've got Mary Campbell in the studio. She's talking about advanced directives, which is the idea and the legal procedure to lay out your wishes for receiving medical care. So that, you know, that looks like when you're not able to make those decisions, when you're incapacitated, or you just need somebody else there to make those decisions for you, and your plan to put those in action. Okay. We will come back. The time is 1:11, and please call and ask a question. Mary knows a lot, so the number is 874-2345. Okay, we are back. The time is 1:13. We have Mary Campbell with Wrangell Medical Center in the studio to talk about advanced medical directives. So, Mary, if somebody is listening to this conversation and saying, wow, you know what, that sounds like a great idea, I should put in my advanced directive in the near future, what is the very first thing that they need to do?
The forms, there are forms that you can just fill out, and the forms are not difficult. I have two different forms that we can use that are legal. Both are legal in Alaska, and I'll describe some of them in a minute or two. You do not have to have an attorney to do these. You can get these forms off the internet. If you go to Alaska Advanced Healthcare Directive and mention... put also in there, 2017 will give you the most updated Alaska Advanced Healthcare Directive. At 2017 will give you the one that came up that Alaska has provided most recently for residents of Alaska. And then there's another booklet that's used, and it's good to use. It's good and legal to use it on its own in Alaska, called Five Wishes. And Five Wishes, the website for that is fivewishes.org, fivewishes.org. And Five Wishes provides a similar information, but it does so in language that is not legalese. And they've gone past where just talking about what you want or don't want medically. They talk about how comfortable you want to be and how I want people to treat me, what I want my loved ones to know. And so they pull up some conversations that we avoid. And I love the Five Wishes. I'm not going to talk about the Alaska Advanced Healthcare Directive as much, because the Five Wishes one, I think, provides so much more for us as individuals to talk with our family members. So do you want me to go on talking about that, or?
I would love.
So I've got it in front of me as well, but please tell me, what are the things that this is going to ask me to consider?
Well, the first of the five wishes are you want to designate who's the person I want to make care decisions for me when I can't. Now, I've had some people who have said that they don't have anybody, and if they don't, that's okay. I don't have anybody, but what I want to do is I want to be mindful that I fill out the kind of medical treatment that I want or don't want, so that the advanced directive will stand on its own without somebody else stepping in. So that's an option. If you don't trust anybody else, or you don't have anybody that you feel like you want to, you feel like you might be imposing on somebody, if you had whatever your feelings are, you can do this either with naming somebody else or not naming anybody. And also, you can name several people. You can name your first person. You can name a second one. You can name a third one. They actually have spaces for a first choice, a second choice, and a third choice. So you always want to update these because just like wills, I know when the first time I did a will, I was setting things up and I was making my father the executor. Well, my dad died, you know, so you have to really update those things and make sure that they're current, that you've got the people that are closest to you that are recent. So anytime that you fill out any of this paperwork, if you want to update it, you fill out another one and replace it. And the newest one, the one with the newest date on it, or newest notary date on it, would be the one that would be followed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reiterate in here, too. It is extremely important that when you come, that we keep a copy of these at the hospital. If you live on Wrangell Island and your healthcare person who you have designated may come to the hospital with you, but if we don't have this paperwork, we don't know that. And also, if it's home in your lockbox, that's fine and dandy. It needs to be there, but we need a copy of it, and we scan a copy of it so that we'll know. And if you change it, please, you know, bring it up there and scan it again, you know, so that we have the updated copy. Okay, so the first part is the person I want to make healthcare decisions for me when I can't make them for myself. And so you have three choices there. And they give you some guidelines about around there. The agent should be at least 18 years or older. And, you know, you want somebody that you can trust. And so they'll you know, it gives you some instructions about what they would be doing and what they would not be doing. And then they give you a list of things that the healthcare decisions that they could make. And then they have a whole list of those, and then you can cross out the ones that you don't want them to make decisions for you. So you've got things there. You can cross things out. They have listed quite a few things. You know, like you can say, let's see. Here's one. Okay, so I want, it says cross out anything you don't want your agent to do that is listed below. Here's one that says donate usable organs or tissues of mine as allowed by law. Maybe I don't want to donate any of my tissues. I may have some religious belief, or there may be some reason why I don't want that to happen. Then I can cross that off. So I can say specifically what I want and what I don't want. And then there's a space that you can list any changes or additions and limitations to your health care. Okay.
Yeah, my wish part.
Okay, so this wish two is for the kind of medical treatment that you want or don't want, mm-hmm. And you can say what life support treatment means to me, and you can they put a narrative in there, and then there are lines that you can say, well, that isn't what I mean, or I mean that it means something else, and so you can write whatever, and then it has some specific things. Close to death, it has, you know, three boxes. You can check off the box you want. Close to death, I want to have life support. I don't want to have life support. I want to have life support if my doctor believes it'll help, but I want my doctor to stop giving me life support if it's not helping my health condition. So there are a lot of different options that you can put with these, you know, and you just, it's a multiple choice. You can go through there and say, oh, I can just check off this box. This is not difficult. And then at the bottom, if there's some additional instructions that you have, there are places for you to write in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it's got, my wish for how comfortable I want to be, you know, regarding pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's these last three that I think are the meat of, are just amazing. I get goosebumps whenever I open this section, because this provides the context for conversations we can have with our friends and family members that make a real difference in the level at which we are connected to others. And if we have these conversations, if we actually have the conversations with other people, it is amazing the level and depth of love that can occur in families. But we don't. Okay, so...
Yeah, why?
Because we're afraid we'll look foolish, or, oh, we'll be some woo-woo person, or, you know, we make up some excuse. We always do that. So, but you can say in there, you know, exactly what you want, how comfortable I want to be, you know, what I want, whether I want religious readings or not, whether I want anybody to come in and play, use massage oils or keep my lips and mouth wet or something. So that's three. For four is how I want people to treat me. So, you know, there's some list of things there that you want to have it. Wish have others by my side praying for me, or I don't want people beside me praying for me. So there's all of that. Some people want, you know, family and friends to be close to them. I don't know that I would want that. I, you know, just leave me alone. But nevertheless, it's different people want different stuff.
Yeah, if you want to be in your home or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
right.
How much am I willing to just be in a hospital when I could be at my house?
Right, right. And if you want that, and if your family, we want to try to handle things with people how they want them to be. Okay, so the wish five, here it is. My wish for what I want my loved ones to know. And it says to cross out anything that you don't agree with. Okay, I wish to have my family and friends know that I love them. How many times do we tell our friends and family that we love them? I wish to be forgiven for the times I've hurt my family, friends, and others. And I wish to have my family, friends, and others know that I forgive them for when they may have hurt me in my life. Here's it, is that if you can't physically say this to people, reading it when you are at death's door, this makes a difference. This makes a difference. There is so much stuff that we carry to the grave, and there's stuff that our family and generational, our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and then people, you know, something happens. They die, and we have something that's unresolved with them. Yeah. And then we will carry that forward, making up our own story about that, how bad we are or how bad they were, and then we look for additional evidence of that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity right here to really clear some of that out.
Yeah, I had no idea you were going to come into the studio today and talk about things like that, like, that can be part of your advanced directive.
That's what I love about wish five. So,
mm-hmm.
It says, one of them here. I wish for my family and friends to look at my dying as a time for personal growth for everyone, including me. This will help me live This will help me live a meaningful life in my final days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And then it talks about whether you want your body to be cremated or buried. And, of course, the hospital doesn't make any of those decisions. You would be making that, or your family would be making that for you, and, you know, some additional things. So there's, of course, some additional questions at the bottom and places that you can add in. And if you want to be a grumpy old person, you can just X off the whole part of Wish 5, but, you know, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to tell my friends and family anything. I'm going to say Rosebud, and that's it.
Okay. And then the last section is just about signing it. And you can just sign it and have two witnesses sign it. But what I have encouraged people to do is to go ahead and get them notarized. Because if anybody has a question about who the witnesses were and if they can't find them or something, I don't know whether anybody ever goes to look for the witnesses. But if you have it notarized, that should handle it. And there are notaries at all of the financial institutions here in town, banks and credit union. And also the City Hall has a notary, and there are other people that have notaries as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. So that is five wishes. That's something that the hospital has available, and you can also get it online, you said?
Yes.
Agingwithdignity.org?
Right.
I'm seeing that.
Five wishes. Where did I put that down? Wait a minute. Written down somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Fivewishes.org. Fivewishes.org. Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Yeah. So let's go to a break real quick. And again, if you have questions, the number is 874-2345. It's medical directives. That's when you are able to say how you would like to be treated medically in the case that you are not able to make those decisions yourself. You're incapacitated in some way. And so one more thing that we wanted to talk about is power of attorney, how this relates to advanced directives. Go ahead, Mary. Tell me a little bit.
Okay. Power of attorney is one other form that we try to encourage people who come into the hospital to fill out or have on file with us if they don't. A power of attorney provides an opportunity for someone you know, love, trust, to stand in for you to complete some action for you, for your part. Now, which you can complete a power of attorney for the power of attorney to be used, like, for only one thing. For example, if you were across the country, you needed for somebody else to sign off the papers that you were selling or buying a house or something like that. So you can have a power of attorney form. I don't know about that. You need to check with an attorney about those. The power of attorney forms, however, are on. We have Alaska form that is legal, with Alaska Legal Services has come up with this form. Let's see. Just Google, I think, Power of Attorney Forms Alaska 2017 will give you the most recent one. And that form is 8 pages long. The first 4 pages are just directions. The actual form itself is not very long, but they give you explicit directions about how to fill it out and what it means. And so the question would be, well, why do we care, you know, whether or not you have a power of attorney? So power of attorney can act for you in the one major reason that we want people in the hospital who are very ill, or particularly who are elderly or people who are ill, is if you have a power of attorney that can make financial decisions for you, or at least can check out what your bank account looks like. If we have to go apply for Medicaid, or if we have to apply for long-term care Medicaid, or if we have any of those issues as possibilities, if we don't have somebody who can actually get in and look at your finances, there's essentially little that we can do. And so what we encourage people to do is to have somebody that they know be listed as their power of attorney, and we encourage people to have these notarized as well. They can take them to their bank, and then somebody can assist them in actually getting some of their financial businesses handled.
Yeah, you're saying that you could have folks up there that can't access their Medicare or Medicaid. Like, how can the hospital even support them if we can't get a hold of that information?
It's difficult. And so that's one reason why we, when people come in, we try to insist that family and friends be involved in what their care is. Now, we don't go to family and friends and say, you need to be involved. That's not right, because we have HIPAA guidelines. But we talk with the patients and say, you know, this is a good idea for you to have someone else involved in assisting you in your financial your financial businesses, so that, you know, if you've got, you need to get your electricity turned on or off, or if you've got to have, something legal needs to be done with any property that you own, selling an automobile or something, that, you know, all that needs to be done by someone who has the legal right to handle some things for you.
And so, you know, I'm assuming that, like, my spouse would have the legal right to do that, but maybe my daughter wouldn't. You know, what does that look like? Who, if I don't have any of these papers, if I'm not spelling out who is my power of attorney, you know, who does have the legal right to help out in that instance?
Well, okay, I'm a social worker. I'm not an attorney, so I want to be mindful that I'm not giving people who are listening today an idea that I actually know what's going on. I don't know if you have a bank account and your spouse is not also on that account. I don't know that that spouse would have access to it. So and also those things may be different from state to state. So I've not had a spouse when I've been in Alaska. I know a little bit more about what Georgia laws were about 25 years ago. So that doesn't help.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. But basically, people should not assume Mm-mm. that my spouse is going to have access to my finances. My daughter is going to have access to my finances. My my friend is going to be able to make any decisions for me if I don't spell it out ahead of time.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can specify and say, you know, I want you to be able to have access to this checking account, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this particular piece of, you know, my financial business, you know, you can have access to that. But once somebody has this, like for me, when my mother was elderly and not well, she had power of attorney forms filled out, and who acted as power of attorney was me, my sister, and my sister-in-law. Any of the three of us could have gone to the bank and take care of her business. And that was extremely helpful for all three of us. Sometimes the three of us did not get along, but in regards to my mother, we could handle her business without, you know, without there being major major problems. So, but yeah, it's important. And then I could go in the bank and I'd say, here are my power of attorney forms. You have to usually take in the original, and they will make a copy of it and keep the copy on file, but they want to see the original. Mm-hmm. And so you keep your original, you always keep your originals. And the hospital will take a copy. We'll take a copy, or we can copy your originals for you and give the originals back to you. So we don't keep, that's true with the advance directive too. We don't keep the original.
Okay, absolutely. Yes. We can wrap up our conversation pretty soon.
Okay.
I learned a lot today. And I think, you know, when I was telling some people that I was having you into the studio today to have this sort of discussion, they were like, oh, you're going to talk about this around the holidays. We're supposed to be having a good time. And I'm like, well, this is actually a very opportune time to talk about it.
Right.
Because you're going to be with the people that you love, of all ages, of all health issues that they might be having now or down the road. So this is, you're saying now is the time to have those conversations. Anytime is the time to have them.
Anytime is the time.
Yeah.
Right now. Go to the phone and pick it up and call whoever you're thinking about right at this moment and tell them you love them. I'm not kidding you, because, you know, like if you wait, they may be dead or you may be dead. I mean, you know, we think we have tomorrow and we don't. We sometimes we do, but a lot of times we don't. And you can't wait. You can't, don't wait for I'll have a better opportunity. Well, the time wasn't exactly right. You know, that we make up excuses all the time. Mm-hmm. To prevent us from saying what we really need to say and to really get complete with people. Yeah.
That's right. That is right. So take any opportunity you have with people, to tell them that you love them and to have conversations that are hard but important.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Mary, thank you for coming in today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It was a delightful being here. I love being able to share how important these forms are, and maybe people will come to me. And we have all of these forms. We have them at the hospital, the Five Wishes booklets. We have we ordered a whole cardboard box full of them last spring. And so we have, you need to have your own individual. So if you're a couple, make sure you each have one. We have them available. We will have them available at the front desk. If not, I will make sure the front desk has some. You can just drop by the hospital and pick some up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mary, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Talk on the Rock. The time is 1:38, and we will not be back next week or the week after because of the holidays. So we will see you in the new year. We've had 38 episodes so far. We've been able to do them just about every week. I think we only missed July 4th. So thank you, everybody. And yeah, we'll see you in the new year. I need some